Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
And welcome to episode 207, the Big Pile of Projects episode. It is Thursday, March 23rd, 2017. This is coming at you a little bit late, but I appreciate your forbearance. It's been a productive time. I'm doing lots of different quilts and working on stars upon stars and doing this and doing that. And sometimes it's not till the end of the day when I'm just tired and want to not do anything at all. I think, oh shoot, I should have put the podcast up or written the blog post and put up the pictures and done those things. And I think I'm just too tired. I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow happens the exact same way. You know how it goes. We have our productive times. We have our organized times. And for me, those two things are not necessarily happening at the same time. All right, well, I'm in danger of just rambling off into the ether right now because, again, my brain is a little discombobulated. Possibly it's the pollen. So I say, let's just go straight for the quilt diaries. How about it? Okay. Quilt Diary Day 1, it is Wednesday, March, let's call it the 14th, maybe the 15th, could be the 15th, I really have no idea what day it is, and that's really not unusual for moi. It is a beautiful day outside, and bitterly cold right here in North Carolina, which means right now it's probably about 30 degrees. Don't complain about the weather, especially not on spring break, but it's been a weird week. I'm not complaining, but first of all, our school, our fine school, has spring break early. I have I do have an idea. I think it's supposed to correspond with the local university's spring break schedules. It doesn't always, but I think it does. And, you know, it just is, it's just a crapshoot when it comes to the weather, the second or third week of March. Now, isn't it? You know, whereas most schools around here go with the Easter break, much less of a risk. April in North Carolina, which is usually when Easter falls, is a beautiful time of year. And we have beaches, we have mountains. There's so many places that you can go that you really don't want to go the second week of March. It's about 9:30, or as my body likes to call it, 8:30. Here we are. I'm just full of complaints this morning. I am not a daylight savings fan, even though I love in October when you get that extra hour. It doesn't last. You know, after about 2 days, you completely, I do, readjust to it and don't feel like you're getting an extra hour. Whereas when we spring forward, I feel it for at least a week. And, you know, I've been saying, well, it's good that this is happening during spring break. It gives you time to adjust. But in some ways, it's better to bite the bullet, I think, and just suck it up that Monday following the time change Sunday and get up an hour early. Because now I'm like sleeping in until 9 because we're staying up a little bit later because it's spring break. But then I don't like sleeping into 9. I like getting up at 7 or 7:30, and then I have a full morning ahead of me. As it is now, I will probably not take Travis on his WALK. He's sitting right next to me. I think he knows how to spell it now, too. I'm going to have to find a, you know, completely different word, preamble, something like that. Because I need to get writing. Also, it's really cold. I want to wait till it warms up. I think I'm supposed to post a podcast this week, so I need to get on it. And I have been doing a lot of work. So I finished the Stellar quilt top. Haven't quilted it. I'm almost, I guess I may have finished it by the time. Nah, I don't think I have. But I've been working on the back, and it's a pieced back, or at least the center piece of the back is pieced improvisationally, which is fun, and it's pretty cool looking, but I don't have the, well, I have the time, there's no deadline on this, but the will, I think, to piece what would have to be a 54, maybe 52 by 44 inch back. I mean, that's the thing, is I love improvisational piecing. I very often love how it looks. I don't always love how it looks, but it takes a lot of time, you know, and you just have to be delighted with the process the whole way, or maybe you don't, but you have to really want that, and it's the back. So I think I am going to make this sort of my improvisationally pieced medallion, if a square can actually be a medallion. Does a medallion have to be circular? I mean, you could have a square medal, right? Anyway, I think I'm going to add a little, some white borders, big white borders to its sides, and call it a back. And then I have no idea how I'm going to quilt this sucker. I really don't. I think I'm going to sit down and watch my Crystal Watson Craftsy and my Jackie Gearing Craftsy and figure something out. I am, you know, developing more and more mixed feelings about free motion quilting for myself, not for you. You can love it and, you know what, do all kinds of neat things with it. I'm kind of feeling like I'm not that great at it, and I know. Practice would make me great at it. But as in many things in this life that I know to be true, yeah, that's great advice. I'm not going to do it. the whole 15-minute thing a day. Like my friend Darla, my online quilty friend Darla, does this great March thing where it's 15 minutes a day. And it's really to get people to sit down at their machines. So 15 minutes of quilting a day. But I already do that, so I'm good. Now, if I were the sort of person to make commitments and keep them, then I might do it. But, you know, I've made a now 23-year commitment to the man. I'm fairly committed to my children and my dogs. That's about all the commitment I got in me. I have some commitments to friends and church committees. But, you know, so at some point you're just like, can't commit anymore. Can't commit that 15 minutes. It's just not, you know, you just know what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. And that's something I'm not going to do. So, but also as I get more familiar with straight line quilting and through the likes of the wonderful, marvelous Jackie Gearing, see the possibilities of the walking foot quilting. That's not necessarily just a straight line. There are all kinds of things you can do with a walking foot. And I feel more in control and more comfortable. And, yeah, so there may come a point in my life, and it could come 6 months from now, where I go, no. What I really want to do is the free motion quilting. But I feel like there's so many wonderful things you can do with a walking foot that's what I want to explore more of. And maybe as I explore that, which I hope will also, as through my explorations, will improve my decisions about how to quilt, what designs to choose. You know, I saw some marvelous quilting at QuiltCon, of course. I saw some mundane quilting, some pedestrian, speaking of walking foot, get it, ha, quilting. But saw some really marvelous quilting. And, of course, what you see is that, to me, for the most part, the marvelous quilting is when people broke the quilt up and quilted in sections and quilted appropriately to each section. So that's going to be the name of my book, Appropriate Quilting by Frances O'Dowd. So that's what's on the table once I get the borders added to the back, the stellar back. That sounds like a group. Stellar back. Playing at a venue near you. And that should take all of 20 minutes. Then I need to ponder the quilting. And, of course, let's not forget the fun basting. Basting. So that's that's going on. I also have another quilt that I made last year when I was messing around and I wanted to make a quilt for Jack's advisor, Lacey, who was having a baby. And this was sort of the first draft. And it's a string quilt. It's cute. It's pinks and reds and grays. But it wasn't the quilt I wanted to give her. But it was a finished top. And I went to the Scrap Exchange last week, our creative reuse center that's about 5 minutes from my house that I'm absolutely in love with. And I say I wish I'd started going years ago, but year before it moved, and I feel like it's been in its current location for maybe a year, maybe two. It was in a spot downtown that wasn't that hard to get to, but then there was this whole parking issue and all of that. Enough little bumps in the road, little, you know, speed bumps for me mentally to think, oh, I'll just go to Joann's. Or if I'm going to take the time and effort to actually go someplace, I'm going to go to Thimble Pleasures. Ah, Thimble Pleasures. Gone but not forgotten. But now the Scrap Exchange is really an easy drive from my house. Lots of parking. I find myself going a lot. And it's, you know, I'm not, in theory, I would be a thrift store person. But I like to shop with things in mind. And so I like, you know, it's like I need a new pair of jeans or I need a blue shirt. And I'm not a shopper by nature, so there's no joy for me in going to a thrift shop and going, oh, I'm just going to see what appears. It's like, you never know what they're going to have. So it's not that I never go to thrift shops, and I love the idea, like, of getting all my clothes at thrift shops. The fact is I'm lazy and I don't like to shop, so I don't do that. But with Thimble Pleasures, I can go in. I'm not Thimble Pleasures. Scrap Exchange, I can go in and say, well, I'm just going to see what solids they have. Or I've got some ideas in my mind for this kind of quilt or that kind of quilt. Let me see if they have prints that might play around with that, or that I could play around with, more to the point. You know, so, and I know exactly where the fabric is. The selection is limited, but it's also like a thrift shop. You never know what you're going to find. And I have found wonderful things, including a big piece of pink, sort of peachy. It's more peachy, you know, but about 3 yards, which is plenty to do a backing for this quilt. And the peach works with it. There's a little bit of peach in this, in the quilt. And so, yay! Because as much as I like pieced backs, it's also very nice from time to time just to have a whole piece of cloth that I probably will have to cut to make it work. But just simplified. And I don't even know what I'm going to do with this quilt. It's possible it could be a charity quilt. And it's a nice quilt. But I don't have a particular need for it. We'll see. On the docket. Quilting. Stellar. Quilting. This other pink and gray piece. What are we calling that? String quilt. And then I am working on my chair quilt. You may not remember, but last fall I had, first of all, last fall, you may remember this if you were listening last fall, you had a love affair with the artist Beverly Buchanan, who mostly did sculpture and did these sculptures of shacks. And I became acquainted with her through the Southern Accent exhibit at the Nasher Museum of Contemporary Art over on the Duke campus, also very close to me. Anyway, so that's where I first became familiar with her work. There were a couple of her shacks. And these are really, it's funny, she called them shacks. They're examples of vernacular architecture. Anyone who, I don't know what it's like in other places, but I know here in the Southeast, once you get out into the country, you see these all over the places. These are just old buildings, old houses, made from pretty simple materials that people lived in many years ago. But she also did some other things as well, including some drawings. And so I saw a drawing of a chair. Yeah, it was like that she did maybe with oil pastel, or I don't think color pencils, but maybe. But I saw this drawing and I really loved it. So I made a copy of the chair, I made a stencil of the chair, and I cut out a few chairs and appliqued them to white backgrounds, but you know, I didn't use stabilizer. I haven't done a ton of machine applique. That is about to end because right now, I don't know how many chairs I have at this point. We're getting close to 50 chairs. I want to make a big quilt too. I love the idea. One of the things I realized, and I just had this realization today, the general realization, so I had a specific realization today, the general realization is a lot of my quilts are lap quilts. And, you know, it's not unusual for a quilt of mine to end up being 48 by 40 or, you know, 56 by 48, and just in that territory. And one of the things at QuiltCon is I saw some really big quilts. Those are super cool. And in fact, Modern Birds in the Air, which is probably in that, 48 by 54 range, looked very small on its little wall. And I thought, I'd like to do something a little bigger. And then this morning, as I was looking at my design wall, I was like, well, maybe partly one of the reasons you're doing quilts that size is that's sort of what your design wall allows, because it's just this piece of, foam board covered with flannel. And it's bigger than it's probably, let's say, maybe 60 inches? No, not 60. Maybe 56 wide. It's fairly tall. I don't have to, maybe 6.5 feet tall. But that, you're kind of, and I always have things pinned around on the side. So I think it's possible that that is curtailing my vision of what I could do. I've actually thought about going to get another board and have a double board. I think I have room just to pull that off on this. It's a length of what would be a normal person's dining room wall. And I'm thinking about doing that and just having them side by side so that I, have a vista, have a broader expanse to work with. Anyway, I would like this to be a big quilt, even before I realized that about my design wall. Just seeing some of the big quilts at QuiltCon, that would be really cool. And I like the idea of, having a big quilt made up of 100 of these chairs. And they're in all different colors. It's all solid. And there's something about them that's very cool looking. My original thought was I was going to do them Andy Warhol soup can style. Just sort of the same chair, and maybe, let's say, 8 per row, and maybe, 8 rows, something like that. But then it's funny, this, design stuff that just happens by accident, I was putting them up on the board. I had a bunch up on the board. I've been doing, maybe 12 a day. It takes them a little while to cut them out. And I had an incomplete row, and I thought, oh, that looks kind of cool. So to have some complete rows, but also rows that are incomplete, and it'll be very fun to play around with how to position the colors. So that's actually right now my little obsession, is cutting out these chairs, because I'm excited to see how this quilt is going to come together. And I need to go to Joann's and get some stabilizer of some sort to do the applique. And so my thought is, these chairs, I don't have a measure on them. Let's call them, let's say they're 6 inches high and maybe 2 inches wide, maybe something like that. And so what I think I would do is cut out white background fabric, maybe 8 inches and 4 inches, maybe 8 inches. Probably something like that. And then applique the chairs to those background rectangles of white, and then sew those together. We will see how that all works. But that is my plan right now. I suppose I could do long rows of white background and just, instead of doing every single one individually. But I don't know. I don't know if that'll work. I will play with that idea and I will get back to you. So that is where I am right now. I don't know if there's anything else I need to tell you. I picked up a copy of Modern Patchwork, by the way. Fonz and Porter. I know that it's Fonz and Porter is bought out by F&W, but it is interesting how impactful a name is or a brand is, because I still, see the Fonz and Porter gals sort of going, look, we love Modern Patchwork now. I'm like, but it's not really actually them. But I like it. I like it. I don't know. I think maybe I'm just in such a modern mood and still kind of on a quilt con high that I want to read about modern. The patterns are nice. I don't think that I would do them just because, it's just not what, I've got other things I want to do. But it's a really nice, aesthetically pleasing magazine. There are some articles. I feel like now every magazine that I pick up has articles either by Abby Glassenberg or Bill Volkenberg on collecting vintage quilts. Abby writes about the business, Bill writes about old quilts. So if you're trying to publish magazine articles in quilting magazines, good luck. You're going to have to get past those too. One last thing before I get to work is that I had a lovely dinner last Friday with my gal, Krista Watson, who I love, who I heard great things about her class at QuiltCon, which I wish I could have taken. I wish I could have taken any class, but I think Krista's was very much at the top of my list. And she was in town to teach actually my guild, my modern guild, on Saturday, but I had a prior commitment that I could not break. So I missed the class, which I was sad about, but I was so happy to have dinner with Krista and another woman from our guild, Michelle Wilkie, who is a wonderful designer and quilt maker. And both, I came home and I was like showing the man the QuiltCon magazine, because they both, Krista and Michelle, had quilts in the QuiltCon magazine. So I felt really like, oh, I'm dining with the stars, but it really didn't feel like that. It felt like I'm dining with some friends. And Michelle and I don't think she probably before dinner could have put a name, matched my name and face, but when we met each other, she's like, oh yeah, I know you, I've seen you. And then, oh, and on Sunday, I did a presentation, kind of the Birds in the Air trunk show at my guild, which was really neat. And it was a good way to connect with people. I feel like I'm connecting more. I met a couple new people who neither of whom live in Durham, but they work in Durham. So I'm hoping we'll be able to get together and chat about quilts. So that's neat. And I was happy to do that. I was happy to be there, happy to see all the show and tell quilts, which is, of course, the best part of any guild meeting. All right, I've got to go to work. I may chat with you a little bit later tomorrow. We shall see. This episode could maybe not come out till Monday. But you'll be the first to know. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 2. Now it's Monday, March 20th, the first day of spring, which I don't get. What happened to March 21st as the first day of spring? Wasn't it? Didn't it used to be March 21st? Did they change things up on me, or have I misremembered this or misunderstood this my entire life? I don't know. But it's March 20th, and it's a lovely day here in Central North Carolina. Not that the weather affects me one little bit. It doesn't. The boys are back in school. Spring break, as always, kind of a wash. I don't know. Some people went to France. Some people went to Mexico. The people here, the grown-up people, went to work. The younger people stayed in bed. It was fine. If you hear snoring, Travis is right next to me. And he, between him and the man, so he sleeps with us now. He used to not to. He used to be in his crate. And then a few months ago, he just started crying all the time. And he's getting older. And he wakes up Will. And Will is so soft-hearted that we just couldn't just be mean to Trav or be disciplined with him as we were when he was a pup. Because that would be bad on Will, and Will needs to sleep. So now Travis sleeps at the end of our bed and snores right along with the man. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Okay, here I am. And here's the thing I've been pondering lately. You know, you can tell yourself things about yourself or tell other people things about yourself. You know, I'm the kind of person who this and that. Like, I'm the kind of person who only drinks wine on weekends. And then you realize you open a bottle on Thursday and maybe, you know, might actually have wine from Thursday to Monday. I have done that before. I don't do that now, but done that under the category of I only drink wine on the weekends. And you realize, well, your weekend is really every day except for Tuesday and Wednesday. You're like, I think the way that I present myself is not actually accurate. And in terms of quilting, I think that I would tell you and have told you and told other people, I'm the kind of person who only works on one quilt at a time, which I think has been more or less true. I do have unfinished quilts, some of which I plan on finishing, some of which I may never finish. I don't know. All of them I have plans of finishing, but I know myself well enough to know with any kind of project that if I've totally lost interest in it and haven't picked it back up within a year, I might not. I don't know. We shall see. But that's different than working on multiple projects at once. And I think if you'd ask me, I'd say, well, you know, I've got some hand quilting, right? I've got the Civil War Birds and the Air Quilt, which I'm still trying to figure out how to quilt. But that's different than whatever's really on the machine. But right now I find myself with a plethora, an abundance of projects going on all at once. I have two quilts to quilt, one which is ready to quilt, except for the basting. I think I mentioned this. It's sort of what I think will end up being a charity quilt. The one that was the first draft of a quilt that I made for Jack's advisor. And it's cute, and I think a little girl would like it. There's that quilt. Then there is the Stellar quilt, formerly Graphic Star quilt, which all that it lacks is for me to finish the back. I have finished the pieced back part of the back, and now I just need to put white borders on it to make it wide enough and long enough, and then baste it. The basting part is the part that I try to not think about. I even, on Stellar, by the way, I've done the binding. I think at some point I was feeling very, I don't know, proactive and like this is all happening right now. And I'm going, huh, maybe it is, maybe it's not. So those two things are going on. I've got my chair quilt, which I still don't know what I'm going to call. You know, I'll probably just call it the chair quilt. And that's not that. I have many chairs. I'm still cutting out chairs. And then once I get all my chairs cut out, I will start appliquing chairs to panels of white fabric. And then we'll arrange the chairs and sew all the fabric together. And you know what I'd like to do? I kind of like this idea of sewing words into, or quilting words into your quilt. And I watched a little bit. Thomas Knauer talked about this at QuiltCon. I was at the time that he was talking about it was maybe early Saturday afternoon. And, you know, by this time my brain had already pretty much checked out. All you introverts understand that. What? You've been talking to people for 24 hours? You've had your two-day slumber party, which is about to be a three-day slumber party? Yeah, by Saturday afternoon, you're. Anyway, but I was interested in it, and I want to find more information because I love the idea of just quilting the word sit all through this quilt. Now, whether or not that's really going to happen, I don't know. I don't know what this quilt's going to look like once it's put together. And is that actually, is there going to be enough room? I don't know. But I like that idea. Maybe I'll just do a couple. Who knows what I'll do. But that's another project. To my point, that's a third quilt. And then this weekend, I looked at my little bundle of fabric from Riley Blake Designs that I got from the Modern Quilt Guild or via the Modern Quilt Guild. And it's so funny because I don't actually do challenges. You know, I don't participate a whole lot in stuff like this just because I'm afraid that I won't do it, right? And, you know, and I always, whatever the spirit's moving me to do is what I'm going to do. And so I don't know what moved me other than, you know, a friend texted and said, hey, get your fabric. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll do that. And so I did. And I kind of didn't expect to get fabric because I signed up pretty late in the day. And then I was surprised when the fabric actually showed up at my house. And in fact, when I got this little package from Riley Blake Designs, I had forgotten all about it. And I don't know if that was 2 weeks later, a month later, but it showed up. I'm like, why is Riley Blake Designs sending me something? Is it because I'm a famous podcast? No, that can't be it. So I don't know. And then I opened it up and there was a little postcard about the challenge. I'm like, oh, wow. And then I wasn't expecting to get it at home. For some reason, I expected to get it distributed through the Quilt Guild, through my local guild. So I don't know why I had that in my head. So that was a surprise. And it's been sitting around here for a little while now. And I look, and I've kind of, you know, had it in the back of my head that I should do something. Because I think there were people who registered to get the fabric and didn't get it. So I kind of feel like, you know, that seems like kind of uncool to get the fabric and then not do anything with it. And besides, it's a challenge, right? So then looking at this fabric, and I'm thinking there may be, I don't know how many different kinds. It's from their Rockstar line, and is it six fabrics, eight fabrics, and they're not very big pieces. They're not fat quarters. Is there a fat eighth? I don't know. I think, yeah, but anyway, it's a fairly, they're fairly small little bits of fabric. I mean, not tiny. You could do something with them. And with the challenge, you can make whatever size quilt you want. So you don't have to go out and buy more fabric. But if you do, it needs to be Riley Blake Designs, either Rockstar fabric or solids. So I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea what to do with this stuff. And there's some, you know, there's some medium, it's like medium and light values. It's nothing too dark. Man, there's an orange with white polka dots. But anyway, so for some reason, on Saturday, I got the idea, you know what, why don't I just do hexies? I can make little hexies, as many hexies as I can from the fabric provided, and then I could just figure a way to put them together in the way that is really pleasing. So I started making hexies. Actually, I was at the library and came across a book, a relatively new book. I don't have it in front of me, but it's about English paper piecing and hexies and other shapes. And so I'm like, okay, well, there's a sign. So I went home and I actually made templates. So I printed out templates, and then I had cardstock, but don't have a printer that you can run cardstock through. So I just printed out regular typing paper and then pasted it onto the cardstock and then cut those out and made about eight hexies before bedtime. And then in the middle of the night, as I'm pondering these things, as I often do when I wake up and can't go back to sleep, and I thought, oh, I could do a star. And then a little voice said, out of hexies? And I was like, well, I don't know. I'm tired. I can't work through that problem. But then later I woke up again. I thought, diamonds. Maybe you could do diamonds. So ultimately, long story short, is after church on Sunday, I went to Joann's and I bought diamond templates. And yesterday I started making diamonds. And I thought maybe I would make a big star, like a lone star kind of thing. But I don't think that's what I'm going to do now. I think what I'm going to do is a series of smaller stars and actually see if I can... I don't know how many stars I'm going to get out of this, but actually try to do some sort of constellation and make it look modern somehow, because this is a modern quilt girl challenge. We'll see if this is all insanity. I have done hexies before, and in fact, I was looking through photographs. I've been trying to keep up with the Instagram Quilt Fest. I've missed a few days. It's been a couple days I just didn't have anything to post, and a couple days I've been busy. I had company last week. And today I was looking for, because the prompt is something like quilts in the wild. I'm like, well, I've got plenty of pictures of quilts I've hung up on the clothesline, which is not actually the wild, but it is in the farthest part of my backyard. So I was looking through that and I found a picture of a block made out of hexies. And so I don't know if that's something that Jay and I were doing for my sampler block. Jay, if you were listening, tell me if you recall, did I do hexies for that, or was it for something else? I really don't remember, but I did have a sense working on these hexies that I actually had done them before. And I do know that in a guild meeting, a modern quilt guild meeting, maybe in January, someone, I believe her name is Sonia, lovely woman, did a tutorial on hexies, and she brought the templates and on English paper piecing. That was the tutorial, right? And she brought templates and needles and threads. She did a really great job. And of course, I kind of bumbled and fumbled while everyone around me seemed to know what they were doing. But the good thing is, when I sat down to work on the hexies on Saturday before I got into the diamond territory, I remembered it pretty well. And then I also had the book in front of me. So between those two things, I kind of got it worked out. The book is called All Points Patchwork, English Paper Piecing Beyond the Hexagon for Quilts and Small Projects by Diane Gilliland. I don't know that I'm saying that name right. Gilliland. And it came out in the summer of 2015. And it's very modern looking, very bright fabrics. It's, you know, it's well done, because I could look at the pictures and kind of remember what I have done before. Doing the diamonds, one of the things about doing these diamond EPPs, that's what, you know, it's so funny because a few weeks ago I saw someone on Instagram saying, oh, I love doing EPP. I'm like, what the heck is EPP? But, and I had to look it up and quickly found that it was English paper piecing. But doing diamonds, you end up with little tails unless you fold a certain way. And my original idea, which was not my idea, nor was it original, but I saw on a blog, I believe called Modern Handicrafts. I feel like I follow this person on Instagram. She had a really neat hexagon quilt where instead of sewing the hexagons together, she glued them to the fabric, and then when she quilted the quilt, quilted over the hexagon. Does that make sense? Anyway, so I thought originally that's what I was going to do with the diamonds as well, and I suppose it's still possible, but I don't know. I don't think they're going to. Maybe I will. I've got my little shapes out here. It might look cool. It might not. We'll see. But anyway, so I was folding the fabric, so as to not have the little tails, but now I'm thinking maybe I will sew them together in a traditional EPP fashion. So maybe I will do the tails, let the tails exist. Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's what I'm working on now, and it is a little addictive. I know some people, you know, I think it's one of those things that you either love or just have no interest in. And I'm kind of into it. There's something very satisfying about making little pieces and laying them out and all of that. And I don't know why. It just is. So that is what I'm doing now. And I'm hoping that it will not take forever. Right now, I only have one. The stars have 6 points. And I have a lot more points. That's just minutia. You don't need to know that. But that is another project I'm working on. So I'm going to try not to start anything else until I finish this. The thing that I need to decide, and I should decide it today, is I really need to get my machine serviced. But now that Thimble Pleasures is no more, I'm going to have to drive to Raleigh. I could ask the man to do it. A little bit out of his way. I mean, he works in Raleigh, and I don't know, but he's just been so busy. I kind of hate to ask him. Maybe I could drop it off and he could pick it up. Anyway, so as I'm doing this stuff, I'm like, I should just take my machine over right now. Maybe I'll call them and see how long it takes. I'm clearly getting some messages because I'm popular. Or one of my children has broken his legs. Maybe I should chat very quickly. So that is what's going on with me right now. I am epping. Can we call it that? Oh, it's so close to EpiPen, though. I'm epping. And I, with a child with tree nut allergies, I don't actually find EpiPens humorous at all. Not that he's ever had to use one. Yay. Yes. So I am, but now, see, I just want to say it. Epping. I'm epping. And yes. And I like the idea of having my machine service. I'm going in circles now. I actually literally am. I'm walking in circles because I do have two smallish quilts, but two quilts to quilt. And I just feel like I have gone 6 months past due the servicing time. On the other hand, I'm not that far away from going to the beach in June. So if I could hang in there for 3 more months and just give my machine a good oiling, I don't know. I'll work that out on my own. I won't trouble you with it. Anymore. So I think that's what I have to tell you for now, is that I am now a multiple project girl, and you can take that with a grain of salt, because who knows, maybe it's not really true. No, it's true. At this very minute, it's true. Okay, I'm really rambling. I don't know why. I think that's a weird thing about technology, isn't it? It's like things start beeping and buzzing. You're like, what? What do I need to pay attention to? I don't know what to pay attention to, but I've moved into the man's study so that nothing can beep at me. So I can just pay attention to you and your needs, which I don't know what they are. I am reading The Summer Before the War by Helen Simonson. It looks like, yeah, who wrote... what is it? Major Pettigrew's Last Stand? Could that really be the title? It is Major Pettigrew. And if you haven't read that, or some book with the name Major Pettigrew, written by a woman named Helen, then you should, because it was absolutely charming. This book I'm reading for my book group. It came out, I want to say summer before last, but perhaps last summer. And, you know, it got mixed reviews, but I am absolutely enjoying it. And, you know, it takes place in the summer. It's in England. It's set in England. I'm a little disappointed because the author is actually, she is English, but she lives in Brooklyn. And I think she's lived in the States, like, for most of her adult life. That's what it seems like. I feel like she's lived here a long time. And I don't want her to live here. I want her to live there and be absolutely English in every possible way. But I romanticize people and things, including England. But, it, you know, so if you're a Downton Abbey person, I mean, that's, you know, that this would be kind of the same time period and not quite the same wealth, although there's some wealthy people. The man and I are also watching this show on Netflix called Escape. I think it's called Escape to the Country, but it's a British real estate show where people want to buy homes in the countryside. And it's wonderful. It's like, oh my goodness, we are such Anglophiles here. And it's our big dream. My big dream is to do a walking tour in the Midlands. And the man's big dream is to do an archaeological dig. So we both want to get over there just as soon as we get these children out of the house. We are going to have some good times. But watching the show, so they're out in this beautiful, beautiful country. And the only weird thing about the show, so they get these couples, you meet the couples, and they're typically very, very nice and likable because they're English and they have those accents. But then they, you know, and they say, here's what we want. Oh, I want a garden. I want a garage to, you know, because they're English and they say garage. And we want this many rooms and this is how much money we have to spend. And they're shown three houses. And at the end, you're waiting for them to say, we pick this house, we're buying this house, but they don't. I mean, they say, well, sometimes they say, we really like house number three. And sometimes they go, oh, we're going to decide between house number two and three. But these houses are on the market, so you don't know if they're going to actually get the houses. They're not being reserved. They're not waiting there for these people to make their decisions. So at the end, you're left hanging. And I've actually thought that I need to go look and see if there's a website where you actually learn, did they buy the house or not? Are they happy there? What do their kids think? There was one thing, this one couple on their second marriage. And between them, they have like eight kids or nine kids. And so they're looking for a house in the country to accommodate the kids, many of whom are grown. I'm just like, the kids are on their own. Whoever's living in the house right now, they guarantee them a room. But everyone else, that's what, you know, that's what Airbnb is for. How, you know? So, yeah, I'm a little ruthless. But so we're watching that. It's a great deal of fun. If you have Netflix right now, Howard's End is on Netflix, and that is one of my favorite movies. I watched it yesterday as I was epping, and it was delightful. It's sad. I mean, it's not just a delightful movie. It's delightful to look at. It's beautiful, but it's actually, you know, I mean, it's based on the novel by Ian Forster, and very all those Ivory Merchant films based on books are very true to the novels they're based on. And Howard's End is no different. But, you know, it brings up a lot of very interesting philosophical issues. It's beautiful to look at. It's quite wonderful. And so I'm recommending that just to keep in with my Anglophile theme of this section of the episode. All right, I think that's it. I hope to get this posted tomorrow. By the way, have you signed up for my newsletter yet? It's called Quilt Stories, and it comes out every other week, Tuesdays or Wednesdays. We're not like clockwork on that. And every other week when you get your issue in your email box, you get a picture of Travis. And isn't that nice? Yeah. See, you should get it. That's not all there is, though. I talk about just basically what I'm working on, and what I'm reading and what I'm writing. And then if you sign up, it gives you access to a story called Persimmon Moon. And don't forget, if you have not read the story, which is called The Off-Kilter Quilt, it is up on the quiltfiction.com site, and you can read that. And one of the things I'm thinking about doing, so if you've been listening for any length of time,
Well, not any length of time. Say the last few years. You know that a few years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I submitted a book proposal to AQS, and they offered me a just sort of ridiculous contract, which I declined. And it was not for Birds in the Air, though. It was for a historical novel, which now I've written about 120 pages of. And I'm actually thinking, I've not discussed this with the man, but I've thought about doing it as audio, but doing it as an audio podcast where I read one chapter or two chapters a week. The thing is I haven't finished the book, and I've only got a first draft. So part of me is like, really, you're going to read a first draft of a book, unfinished book? I'm like, well, yeah, one, it would force me to finish it. But then, you know, two, I could revise it and, you know, and then actually publish it in its revised version. I don't know. It's something I'm thinking about. I would like to do some audio. That is on my list. The interesting thing, it's March 20th, and we've really got a couple of slow months. I don't have much on the calendar. I think I know that this coming Saturday I'm doing a library visit here in town, but other than that, I don't have a lot. So after what has seemed like a very busy few weeks, I'm going to have time to focus not only on writing Stars Upon Stars and working on some other projects like that, but also thinking about doing an audiobook, getting more quilt stories up on Quilt Fiction, and that sort of thing. So if you've got any ideas for me, let me know. As always, I appreciate you listening, and I will talk to you again in a couple weeks. Bye. P.S. I just want to say thanks to everyone who commented on episode 2206, and even before that. Jay, Kelly the Fifth, Jody, Cotty, who's actually commenting on episode 204, Patty, Quilt and Jenny, Jody N, different Jody, Noni, Krista, Andra, and Jay, although I may be getting down to last time. I think I am. Anyway, thank you everyone for taking time to come over to the blog and leave a comment. Thanks to those of you who comment in your head. I hear you. But if you ever get a chance, stop by the blog and say, guess what? Been commenting in my head. Always like to know it for sure. All right, I will see you later.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.